time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. It's the 28th of June, Wednesday. We recommend, if you are able and feel led to join us. We do some fasting on Wednesday, and it's a good day to fast. We are not prescriptive on how you fast. Some people skip a meal. Some people skip all meals that day. Some people drink vegetable juice or fruit juice. Whatever you feel led to do. Some people just eat raw. Some people skip their favorite desserts that they're struggling with. Let God lead you, but it's good to fast, to withhold from the body some of the things you normally do to give digestion a rest. It clears the mind and opens the way for the Holy Spirit to be able to speak more clearly to you. So just want to mention that to you. May God bless you. This day, it's time for our opening prayer. Wife Andrea will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. We thank you for this opportunity now to be able to open up your word and to be able to receive fresh manna from heaven. Please anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, help us to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ. All songs except our torso song are sung by the Master's Chorale.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
Amen. Our topic today for worship is how to find a wife and how to be found by a husband. We're talking about a godly wife. We're talking about a godly husband, and I believe this is a subject we need to hear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all the love you have for us and all that you have done. We thank you, Lord, for the power that you give as we commune with you, and we ask that you will help us to grow and be perfect in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. How to find a wife and how to be found by a husband. Now, let me give you the reason why we use this scripture. I'm sorry, this title. Proverbs 18:22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." There's not a scripture in the Bible that tells a woman to go looking for a husband. That's just not how God does it, and it generally does not work out well. The men have a responsibility to find a wife as God leads them. Now, let me say this, brothers and sisters. A lot of people don't understand this one thing about marriage. We are in a war, and the stakes are high, and we are at this time about to face the most stupendous crisis this world has ever seen. God has given a special calling for his church. Now, I'm calling his church the remnant. I'm not calling the church an organization. I'm not saying organizations can't be part of the church. They have to just fulfill the qualifications of the remnant, okay? But there will be people, for sure, in various organizations that will form the remnant. What are those criteria? They will keep the commandments of God. That means they will obey what God has said, and they will have the testimony of Jesus. That's Revelation 12:17. That is the spirit of prophecy, the special gift of prophecy. They won't deny that gift. They won't suppress that gift. They won't try to find political ways to go around that gift, okay? They will be obedient to it, thus said the Lord, in how they run their medical system and their school system and how we dress and eat and live and work and love on people, okay? That is very, very important. And because of that, God puts two people together in marriage because the two of them can do more for him than they can do themselves. And they will exemplify the plan of redemption in their home. Okay? In other words, there is love at home. You know, there's a little song. Some people think that, okay, since God doesn't put people together unless they can glorify his name, and that the two of them together could do more for him than the two of them separate. Some people believe that that means that they don't have to love each other. They just have to get together to work for God. Oh, no, brothers and sisters. There's a beautiful song. It says, "There is beauty all around when there's love at home. There is joy in every sound when there's love at home. Peace and plenty here abide, smiling fair on every side. Time doth softly, sweetly glide when there's love at home. Love at home, love at home. Time doth softly, sweetly glide when there's love at home." You know, brothers and sisters, before I sing the next verse, there's so many homes that don't have love. There's yelling and screaming and conniving and manipulating and cheating and physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, and both genders can perform sexual abuse, brothers and sisters. Love at home. Kindly heaven smiles above when there's love at home. All the earth is filled with love when there's love at home. Sweeter sings the brooklet by, brighter beams the azure sky. Oh, there's one who smiles on high when there's love at home. Love at home, love at home. Time does safely, sweetly glide when there's love at home. Jesus, make me holy thine, then there's love at home. May thy sacrifice be mine, then there's love at home. Safely from all harm I'll rest, with no sinful care distressed. Through thy tender mercy bless, when there's love at home. Love at home, love at home. Time does softly, sweetly glide when there's love at home. So brothers and sisters, God doesn't require you to have some kind of a mechanical relationship. We're supposed to just do work for God and there's no love at home. No, the love at home is also how you work for God, because people need to see and experience and be ministered to by a godly couple, brothers and sisters. That is one of the greatest foundational things. That's what's wrong with the church. The homes are messed up. And if the homes are messed up, then the church is messed up. So don't you think when you see messed up churches that everything's right at home. It is not, brothers and sisters. And there's a lot of things going on in these homes, and only God knows, okay? So we're talking about how to find a wife. A man finds a wife. The wife doesn't find a husband, so stop trying to find one. Just be what God says they should find. All right, let's read on. I'll start again. And Abraham was old and well-stricken in years, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant in his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. You see, brothers and sisters, the foundation of the church is the home. And unfortunately, these people that he dwelt among, although he was a witness to them, they didn't know how to teach their wives or their young ladies how to be godly women. It wasn't that God is prejudiced and you can't have one of these kind of wives. You have to have this kind of wife. No, it was just that the God of heaven, God chose Abraham because Abraham came from a lineage. God chose Abraham because he was faithful. So even though Abraham had to leave his home because he couldn't do what God wanted him to do around his family because there was some idolatry coming in to the family, but at the same time, God still preserved some of his kindred, brothers and sisters. And so Abraham knew that if he had to find a wife in his old age for his son, he had to find him among his own kindred, people that would serve the living God. You know, oh, well, you know, she's better to me than the women in the church. We have all kind of foolish excuses. He's better to me than the men in the church. Brothers and sisters, just be the man you're supposed to be. And if God wants you to find a wife, he will bring the one to you. And when you're doing what God asks you to do, you're not just so hyper-focused on finding a wife. You can pray about it. You can want it. There's nothing wrong with that, brothers and sisters. But let's be good husband material. Let's be good wife material. And when we do that, God will bless us and give us focus, and he will give us things to occupy our time blessings and victories, and we'll be growing, so that when you're involved in doing God's work, brothers and sisters, then it's not so much that a wife is your primary focus or a husband is your primary focus. Our primary focus should always be on Christ. And when that happens, it's a safe thing for God to bring a wife to you and to bring you a husband, because the bottom line is you, God is first, foremost, and foremost in your life. That's the problem. You know, when you put a woman first, you're actually worshiping that woman, and that creates a problem when you have a marriage. When you just can't live without a husband, then you're worshiping that man, and then when there's challenges, you're going to be tempted to compromise to keep that man. Okay, Christ has to be first, brothers and sisters. You don't have to compromise principles to find a wife. You don't have to compromise principles to find a husband. You might be looking in all the wrong places, or you might be trying to be found in the wrong places. That's not the issue. Just be wherever you are, what God wants you to be. So he had, you see, his servant in his home to promise, to swear, actually, that he would not find a wife of the Canaanites. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and find a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman would not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land whence thou camest? In other words, if she won't come with me, do I take him to her? This is a powerful principle, brothers and sisters. A wife should be, now this doesn't mean that this is a requirement, but there should be a willingness. The bottom line is the way God works in God's order. When God leads a man to do his work, then the wife is his helper. She should go where he goes as long as he's following God and she has confidence that he is praying and seeking God about his decisions. He might not get it right every time, and he and she should have a voice, and he should be listening to that voice of reason, okay? As he moves on with life. But a woman should be willing to go with her husband where God leads him. And so this is just a principle. Now, when I got married, brothers and sisters, God was leading me to be in Pennsylvania, and I felt led by the Lord to be in Pennsylvania. And guess what God did? God led me to a woman who was to be my wife, and guess where she was praying to live? She was praying to live in Pennsylvania. So when we got married, guess what? My home that I had to close down was in the South. Her home was in Maryland. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to move where she is because that's closer to where God is leading us, which is Pennsylvania. And it wasn't long before we went there. So that's why I'm saying there's balance here. Some people would say, oh, you're not supposed to marry and move in with your wife. No, brothers and sisters, if God had a plan, he already told us where to live, and God told us the same thing. So the point being made is, let's not be fanatical. That's the point. But the point also is that, you know, to meet your goal wherever she's living, that might be the best starting place. But the point is that God leads us, and he wants women who are willing to go where their husbands lead. And he wants men that will have the independence and manliness to lead well and go where God calls the family to go. All right. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither. Don't bring my son. You see, he knew that there were a lot of temptations in the area where he left. He didn't want his son exposed to that. And see, friends, if we would understand how important it is not to get exposed to all the evils around us, brothers and sisters, exposure is a lot that we need to watch out for, especially with our children. They get exposed, and we wonder why they mess up, because we expose them to a lot of the foolishness of the world, friends. They got exposed. And so we were like, well, and unfortunately, they got exposed to some of this mess at church. Well, maybe that's not a church you should go to. Your children and their salvation is very important, and it's more important than your membership at a church. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go, but if you have to have church at home in order to keep your children from evil, that's what you do. But God will bring people into your life, even if it's just a few, that we can work together and finish this work. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning this matter. So they had an arrangement. go from to my kindred, find a wife. If she won't come, you're free. But don't take my son there. Because going there, there was other temptations they were exposed to. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia in the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Now, I want to say something about his servant here. When you treat people right, God sends the right people to you, and there will be loyalty and friendships and relationships. He had so much confidence in his servant that we didn't read it. We don't read every chapter as we're having our steps toward baptism, but key points that are important, we're doing it. So there'll be points we'll skip certain portions. We can't read the whole Bible before we are baptized, okay? But we're spending some time in Genesis because a lot of foundational principles are there. And one is that he had so much confidence in his servant that he actually asked God to use his servant in place of his son in a previous chapter in the Bible that we did not read. He loved this servant, and he knew the servant was faithful. And he said, maybe my servant can be my offspring. God said, no, you're going to have a child. We didn't read that, but that's the kind of relationship that they had. And so he could trust his servant, brothers and sisters. And we need to be trusting to people, and we need to be trustworthy, okay? Very good. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she say, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. You see, he understood, having served in Abraham's house. Abraham, when he heard that Lot was captured, he didn't think twice. He didn't have to do anything. Lot had left him and took the best land, okay? And he took the other land. He was the oldest. He should have been given by Lot. Lot should have said, no, you're the oldest. You choose which area you want to go in. But he didn't think twice. He trained his soldiers. He had already trained servants. They weren't soldiers. They were soldier servants because they had to learn how to fight to kill animals and protect the flock from maybe robbers or whatever. So he taught them how to protect the family different ways so they knew how to use weapons and that kind of thing. That's why I'm not against the use of weaponry. It's just that we're not supposed to use it for useless for senseless murder. We're not supposed to take lives, brothers and sisters, our own or anybody else's, okay? We're not supposed to take lives of anybody else. And we're not supposed to be involved in foolishness and violence. But in the Bible, these things were just tools. They were used, that they knew how to use them. There was not a police force. They had to protect themselves and self-defense, so on and so forth. They were not a army of conquerors or those types of things. They were his trained servants, but they were trained in weaponry and know how to use the weapons to protect the family and the flock, okay? So that's what Abraham did with his servant. And so here, God is giving this prayer aloud. Is it Ahimelech? I apologize. I don't remember his name. The Bible at this point, he's already been mentioned in the Bible, so I think it's Ahimelech, but it's his Abraham's servant. He prays this prayer, and he says, but he understands that the type of woman that is a godly woman, she won't just, okay, here's a wife, and be, you know, but she's going to be a woman of hospitality. Just like Abraham was a man who, look, what can I do to help? Abraham went above and beyond what was required of him to help save lives. That's what Christians do, brothers and sisters. And so that simple characteristic could be demonstrated by a request for water. And he said if she gives him water, it's not enough that she says, sure, you can have a little water. But if she sees those camels kneeling down and she says, hey, I'm going to be industrious. I can help this man. He's been traveling. And she's a woman of hospitality. And she would go and use her arms and legs and muscles and draw water and fill the trough, you know, and fill that trough. That wasn't something that was too hard for a woman to do. And that's the type of woman she was. She was industrious. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Brothers and sisters, as women, you need to be industrious. You need to find ways to also bring money into the home. That industrious woman went out and bought a field, and she was wise in how she used her money. And her husband was a man of influence, that he was in the gate. He was bringing home money too, but she also helped. Now, it's not that every woman can do that. Some women are at home and they're raising the children, but they're not wasteful. With what they have, they use it wisely, but still lovingly. And they have a relationship, husband and wife, and he's not the only one that can write a check. She can write checks too, and she can even manage the money. Brothers and sisters, my wife manages the money in our home, friends. But it's not that I don't have any money or can't do anything or make any decisions, but I'm happy she manages the money. That's one less thing I have to do. That's when you marry the right person and there's trust in the home, love at home. Some people I hear sound strange. She has her accounts, he has his, and I'm not saying that that's not ever a good plan, that you can't have your own account. But the bottom line is there's secrecy and, lack of trust. I knew this one couple where that man was just, he trusted his wife so much, he just worked. And she was a good money manager, a dear sister in Bermuda, I think, or he's passed away, she's still living in Bermuda there. She surprised him one day when he came home. She said, guess what, honey? He said, what? The mortgage is paid off. He said, what? He said, yes, all that extra money you were making when you were doing construction and doing this and that, I saved it, and I was paying double payments on the house, and our mortgage is paid off. He didn't even know the mortgage was paid off, but he trusted his wife, okay? And so the bottom line is that is a relationship that is a beautiful relationship. Let's read on. We've got a lot of ground to cover because we want to be able to hear also our health message for today. So I'm just going to do more reading now. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand to give him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. You see, God answered his prayer before he could say amen. Rebekah was already at the well. God answers our prayers, brothers and sisters. He's answering your prayers before you start praying, but he still wants you to pray because you won't know it's him if you don't pray. And the man wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. You know, sometimes when we pray, God is already answering our prayers. We can't even believe it. We're just standing back in awe that he would answer our prayers. But we asked him to do it. Then when he starts doing it, we can't believe. Oh, ye of little faith. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, but the man took a golden earring of half shekel weight, two bracelets for her hands and 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Let me just say something, brother and sister. You might wonder as to why God in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, that says this, in like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. You see, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. This is what you'll find in the Bible. You will find that when God's people, as a general rule, put on jewelry. It wasn't that jewelry was always prohibited, but when God's people put on jewelry, their pride got the best of them, and God told them to take it off. So you don't have the prohibition against, you have the prohibition against jewelry in the New Testament, because God is bringing us closer and closer, and he realized, God, not that God had to realize, he knew, but he's showing us that we're so vain, we're so about how we look, that we don't let the inner part shine out because we've got all this glitter and gold and all of this. And unfortunately, some people that look upon us, they're looking at all the glitter and gold, and they're not looking from the heart to see what's on, what's in your head. So God has told us in this time that we should not wear jewelry. You're going to wear jewelry again. You will have a crown with stars in it, gold, you know, crown of gold with stars in it, brothers and sisters, or jewels in it, I should say. And you're, the, how many souls you win, that's be stars, jewels in your crown. It's not that, but see, by that time we will have overcome, and so there won't be selfishness anymore, and it will be safe for us to wear jewelry again. But the bottom line is, God does tell his people not to wear jewelry. There are two scriptures. I've just given you one in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 2:9. Again, I'll read it in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. What does that mean? Your cleavage should not be showing, sisters, because it's tempting. Now, most men won't tell you that, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. And you're, they're smiling at you and just talking to you about the world or whatever, but they're looking, there's some nice-looking things there, you know. They notice that, and deep down in your heart, you know they notice it. So what you're doing, you're actually tempting them. And you know that scripture, am I my brother's keeper? That's what Cain said about his brother Abel. But he is, and many a woman will cause the death of a man. I'm talking about his eternal death, because they're struggling, we're struggling, and you're not helping. Now, I'm not blaming the women. We have eyes, we can turn, we can try to keep our eyes up or whatever, whatever. But brothers and sisters, it's so nice to be around women, and you don't have to figure out where the neckline is, and you got to and keep your focus above the neckline or whatever the case might be. It's just nice to be able to, you know, God didn't give us, there's actually a disease where you have tunnel vision where you can't see, and you have to really do a lot of up and down and left and right turning, because it's like looking through binoculars. That's a disease where you don't have a field of view in your focus. We have to sometimes do that as men and women too, because there's so much nakedness in the world today. Women should be modest, brothers and sisters, and men also, but it's just that we're turned on, if we can use that term. We're stimulated more by sight. We're supposed to be the ones that find the wife, remember? And so God has caused us to notice more things with our eyes and be stimulated more with our eyes. And that can actually be a good thing, in the sense that when you see a godly woman, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You can do a social experiment. If you happen to watch a door, and you see this, unfortunately, it's kind of hard. It's not too many modest women. But if you find a woman that's dressed nicely, but she has it's not a mini skirt. She has a nice skirt on. It's not showing her legs and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not saying she got to be wearing a big old paper bag. You can have nice fitting things, but it's not overly tight in the chest area and overly tight in the hip area. When a woman is modest, men will open a door for that woman, and they won't be saying, hey, baby, can I get your number? They will say, how are you, ma'am? That's what, and I've seen it, brothers and sisters. And I can tell you, as a man, we react differently when we see a godly woman. It just naturally puts a respect on us, as opposed to a woman wearing tight this and hiked up that and low cut this. It's different, brothers and sisters, and I'm here to tell you, if you're trying to find a husband that way, that's the wrong way, because you're going to find the wrong one. You want to find one that wants to be in your head, not in your body, brothers and sisters. And so we're just talking about some powerful marriage principles today. All right. Wanted to explain that because the Bible is consistent. God did allow for jewelry at times, and when we get to heaven, we will wear it again. But now, we can't handle it. We need to focus on the shining from without. God knew that, and it's proof. Look at the world, brothers and sisters, and what they put on and what they do. Jezebel painted her face. That's something to think about. All this colorful makeup and all this kind of stuff. Jezebel painted her face to get Jehu's attention, okay, put on jewels and jewelry and to get his attention, to seduce him because he was trying to stay alive. All right, but she had killed so many people. All right, I'm going to do more reading, okay, to get wrap this up, okay? So, he prayed, the servant of Abraham prayed, and to his shock, before his prayer started, a woman was at the well, and she did exactly what he prayed about. It says, and the damsel was very fair to look upon a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher, and it came up. I'm going to skip all of that. She already fed the camels, and the man wondered at her, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass that the camels had done drinking, but the man took a golden earring of half shekel weight, 2 bracelets for her hands and 10 shekels of weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am a daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which bare unto him Nahor. She said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. She heard that prayer, and she knew who her uncle Abraham was. Actually, uncle, you have to understand, things were a little different back then. We don't do that today, but you have to understand it was just different back then, brothers and sisters. And wasn't a harmful thing when you're trying to find a wife to marry the daughter, to let your son marry the daughter of your brother, okay? So, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. I already prayed that. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house, told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man, unto the well. Powerful principle. He had asked, is there room in your home? She said, yes, we do have room, but I'm not going to be the one to invite you. She ran home. And then a man came to deal with the man and said, and they began to talk. And it came to pass. And it's not like as she was running home, he was following her home. He waited. You see, powerful principles, brothers and sisters. And the damsel ran and told them her mother's. Okay, so verse 30. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me. Then he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. How did he know it's blessed of the Lord? She said, man, that man prayed to God, the God of Abraham. He's Abraham's servant. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for thy camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camel and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. He said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. You see, brothers and sisters, God blessed Abraham because Abraham was godly. When you are blessed of God, he will bless you with what you need. Now, Abraham didn't necessarily need all that he had, but God blessed him with that even more than he needed because he was a man that was a generous man, and he had many servants and flocks and so on and so forth, and all of that would be given to Isaac, okay? And so this is a servant, and listen, this is what my master has. In other words, he's saying to the woman, he can take care of you, okay? And a woman should have a man who can take care. He may not be rich, but he should be industrious. He should be willing to work. He shouldn't be a deadbeat. He shouldn't be, and he should be very, very willing and happy to provide for his wife, brothers and sisters. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master, whom she, when she was old, and unto him he hath given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt take a wife of my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt not go into my father's house and to my kindred to take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear of this mine oath when thou comest to my kindred. If they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear of mine oath. And I came this day unto the well. So, you know, that's powerful. He was just giving his testimony. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if thou do prosper my way which I go. You know, this reminds me of when God was leading me to my wife. You know what I did? I gave my wife my testimony about how God had led me. And what God had taught me and what God had told me. And that's how I began. We just talked. I didn't know God was even at that time leading me to her, but I was giving my testimony. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I also will draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And behold, before I had done speaking in my heart, he didn't even pray this out loud. He prayed this in his heart. Sometimes it's good to do that. That way you'll know the devil didn't hear you. Okay? Behold, Rebekah came forth. But even if the devil hears you, brothers and sisters, the devil can't change. Some people say don't pray out loud in your chamber because the devil gets ideas. No. You can pray out loud as long as no human is hearing you. The devil is, when he hears your prayer, it says his whole host trembles because he knows the power of prayer. Just because the devil heard your prayer, that doesn't give the devil any power over your life. So I want to dispel that myth, okay? Some people don't pray aloud. But it's so interesting that he did all this in his heart, and then before he had even said amen, Rebecca was there. So he's telling them, the whole family, this story. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. They knew that was how Rebecca was. They knew their industrious daughter and sister was kind and loving and hospitable like that. That's how she was raised. And she made haste. Okay, and I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare to him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham, so they were saying, you have our blessing. But watch this, because people talk about these arranged marriages. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave unto Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days. You see, there was love there, at least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. I mean, this brother was excited. Listen, God did this in one day, the first day I arrived. God did this thing. I'm ready to go and let my master know what God has done. You know how we get excited, brothers and sisters. And he said unto him, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. You see, brothers and sisters, God wasn't for arranged marriages in the sense that you just were forced. If she did not want to go, she had the last choice. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She saw God leading. She was probably one of those that said, Lord, I really wish I could pray. She didn't know of anybody in her area, all these wicked people all around. How can I get a husband? She got a husband because she became the wife that God wanted her to be, brothers and sisters. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lenahoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. He was a man of meditation and prayer at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. They weren't expecting him to come back right away. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered her face. You see, she was modest. That's just what they did in that day. God didn't require us to wear veils. But she wasn't trying to show all her body and look all sexy. She was trying to show that she was a woman of God. And the servant told Isaac all things that had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Let's pray. Father, bless us. Help us to find godly women. Help godly women to be found of godly men. Help us to look at these principles and understand them. Help us, Lord, to wear those things which are pleasing in thy sight and to not show that which would tempt others in thy sight. We ask that you would bless us to this end in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, we're going to take a break and come back, and we will hear from Sister Lenny on the subject of petroleum jelly, if it's safe or not. Let's take a little break and come back after our intermission with the Torso song.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need being hampered, this is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're a up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Sister Lynn is going to come to us and talk about, is petroleum jelly / Vaseline safe? Sister Lynn, take all the time you need. Don't worry about the time.
Okay. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Is petroleum jelly / Vaseline safe? What is petroleum? Petroleum is a fossil fuel which is used worldwide. Its crude form is known as petroleum. What is fossil fuel? Fossil fuel is hydrocarbon containing coal, oil, natural gas formed naturally from the remains of dead plants and dead animals extracted and burned as fuel. Its crude form is known as petroleum. After refining crude oil through different processes, the end product is petroleum, which can be cancerous. It is an important world fuel source and used to make petrochemicals. Petroleum is the base of many industrial chemicals and used as an important commodity. Petroleum jelly can cause some side effects and risk, such as lung problems from inhaling the fat-based substances, digestive issues or loose stools from swallowing small amounts, irritates the skin, causes an allergic reaction on sensitive skin. It can cause clogged pores and acne from trapping bacteria and blocking the moisture. Since it's a byproduct of oil refining, petroleum jelly is not biodegradable and not safe for the environment. Do not use petroleum jelly on deep wounds, punctures, bites, or severe burns. Never put petroleum on or in your eyes. You know, when I worked in physical therapy and I was going through my training and I was trained to do wound care, one of the first things that they told us was that we don't use petroleum jelly or Vaseline. Don't use Vaseline because it has petroleum in it. So that was one thing that I was told never to do. Even though I used it, I couldn't use it there. Vaseline. Vaseline is supposed to be good and better to use because it's supposed to be refined. I went to the store and I got a jar of Vaseline, and I was so amazed. It had 17 ingredients. I counted 17 ingredients in a jar of Vaseline, including mineral oil that has petroleum in it. It talks about Vaseline being better because, due to the refining, but Vaseline is harmful as well. Petroleum jelly is in a lot of skin products. We must get into the habit of reading ingredients on products, because when we read those ingredients, if we don't know what they are, we need to look those ingredients up. I'm only on number 4 trying to look up all of those 17 ingredients that was on that Vaseline. Get into the habit of reading your ingredients and look them up and see what they are for and what they can be used on and the dangers of them. There are so many healthier products that we can use. I'm just going to name a few. There are many. Castor oil. This house don't go without castor oil. I have to have castor oil in the house. Coconut oil, olive oil, shea butter, tea tree oil, and the list can go on and on. Now, some people may have allergies. Well, if you break out, just don't use that product. Use something else. But there's lots of natural things that you can use on your skin. You don't want to put things on your skin that causes other problems. Sometimes you'll read something and it's saying good things about petroleum or good things about Vaseline. But the bottom line is you look for yourself and don't use those things that's harmful to your body. Look them up yourself. The best thing to do is to remember, if you can't eat it, don't apply it. If you can't eat it, don't apply it. Thank you so much. May you be blessed today to have better health. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. I will do roll call, brothers and sisters. We have on Facebook, we have South Carolina represented. We have Georgia with a good morning from Sister Vicky. We've got Brother Peyton with a good morning from North Carolina. We've got a dear Sister Carol. I'm not sure where she is from, but welcome, Carol. She has a good morning to us as well. We have the country of Kenya represented with Brian. We ask a good morning for everyone. We have a dear one from Virginia. We've got Florida represented. We've got Brother Peyton from North Carolina. Oh, he just had a personal message from me. And then we have Virginia again. And we welcome our dear sister there. And then we have from, it was just some top communication between those on Facebook. So praise the Lord. And from Salida, good morning. If anybody wants to share anything, go ahead and press star 6. We've got Sister Leilani on the line. We are a little bit past the hour, but don't worry about that. So if you want to share, please feel free. But let me do a roll call real quickly. We have Ohio, and Ohio again. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. So Ohio and Delaware are well represented today. We have Iowa, and we have Georgia on the line. We're your servants here in Pennsylvania. We're going to go ahead to our phone lines, take Sister Leilani. If there's anyone else, just press star 6 at this time. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Good morning. I had a question about your fasting. Should you take all your herbs and things in water or juice, or should you fast from those things as well?
Okay, are you talking about because of the day of fast? I didn't hear the first thing that you said.
Yeah, because Wednesday is a fasting day.
Oh, yeah. Well, we leave that totally up to you. When we do our juice fast, even if a person is, they're on a fast, they're still taking their herbs. But we don't generally not take herbs on fasting days. So we generally take our herbs when we fast, in other words.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. But we leave that choice up to you when it comes to fasting. So just let the Spirit lead. All right. Is there anyone else that has a comment, question, testimony, anything you would like to share? We're so grateful that everyone's on today and that we can share God's word together and hear God's health message together. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, it's midweek. We look forward to ministering to you today. If there's anything that we need, you just reach out to us, text, call, email, whatever the Lord leads you to do. And we look forward to speaking with you. At this time, we'll turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, who will close us out with prayer.
I think Sister Leilani also had a question about whether or not to take the herbal extracts and water or juice. And I just want to emphasize, it's better to take it in water so that the integrity of the drops, because it does not infect the, it doesn't, water does not dilute or upset the integrity of the product. However, juice can. So you want to do your herbal extracts always in a little bit of water, preferably on an empty stomach.
She'll be back with us momentarily. Yeah, that's good counsel, that you take those herbal extracts in a little bit of water. Sometimes if I'm out and about and I have an herbal extract and I just need to, I don't have any water, I have sometimes squirt in my mouth. But if you have a little water, that's best. Okay, I think his wife is back.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. And now as we go about our day, we ask that you will help us throughout this day by allowing your Spirit to lead, guide, direct, and instruct us. And now we pray for everyone on the line. We ask that you will bless every heart in a special way. Lord, we know that the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy us. And we know that it is only through your might, power, and your strength that we're able to be protected and sustained. So we pray that you will continue to be with us Protect us, help us, Lord, to be delivered from trials and tribulations. May we trust fully in you, because it is you and only you, Lord, that can bring about deliverance. We pray for everyone who may be going through whatever tribulation or trial they may be experiencing, that they will remember to lean upon the everlasting arm of you, Lord, to trust in you, to come to you, asking for guidance and wisdom in areas of our life where we need deliverance, where we need help, and only you can help, only you. And may we remember to trust you, to seek you, to come to you, and to leave these matters in your hands, asking you to work them out for your good. And Father, we pray that we can be faithful to you, that we can trust in all that you have promised in your word for your people. May we serve you righteously, and may we always commit ourselves to you daily, Lord, remembering the debt that was paid for each life on the cross. May we be ready to receive our Savior when he returns, and may we be able to receive the crown of life. Help us to serve you faithfully, and help us to be with you, Lord, for eternity. All of these things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.